Good to be here this morning. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 16, and a couple things we're going to run through here. Of course, you know me, I don't just run through the Bible. Some preachers run through the Bible like I used to run through mowing grass. Put that lawnmower in high gear and just let her go. Of course, you look back and you see a lot that you missed. And I like getting every little piece of chicken off the bone. Amen? That's what I like. 1 Corinthians 16, we started this last Sunday morning, and I've had some good emails from people, and I appreciate that, just some good comments from folk that saw it posted and that watched it, and they're very appreciative of it, and it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. There's an issue in people's minds about should we tithe in this day, in this day and age. And it sort of brings to mind this assumption that if it's in the Old Testament, we can ignore it. If it's in the New Testament, then we have to go by it. And a lot of folk make an argument and say, well, the apostles or nobody ever commanded us to tithe in the New Testament, and all that's in the Old Testament, and we don't have to do anything like that. And remember what I said last week. And I think it's always indicative of who you are, number two, who you're dealing with. When we had a school here, I learned this. I mean, I saw the difference in people. You could just tell the difference. There were students, I called them New Testament students, and they were under grace. And it wasn't that they didn't do anything or they got away with everything. They came in here, they filled out their gold card, they did their work. They didn't cheat, they didn't talk to anybody when they shouldn't to. They weren't throwing spit wads across the room. They were good kids. And we found out that we didn't have to be looking over their shoulder at every little thing they did. We gave them liberty. I'll tell you something. When you're in Christ, you feel the liberty. And we gave them liberty. We trusted them to do what was right and to not be monitored all day long. And they never took advantage of that. They were just, this is what we're supposed to do and this is what we're going to do. There were students that we called Old Testament students. I called them that. They were under every rule that we had. I ain't kidding you. We had to watch them. We had to constantly check their work. We had to, where's so-and-so? You know, if they were not, where are they? We had to go around looking for people. They were Old Testament students, and I could clear, I mean, God's just showing me this. Mike, take a look at this. This is it right here. And the thing of it is, when there are New Testament and Old Testament church members, I firmly believe that. There are people who are under grace who do not use grace as I can do whatever I want to and get away with it. They don't use it that way. They have the liberty, they're doing things, they're doing right things because it's the right thing to do and that's what they want to do. I didn't call anybody this morning and tell them, you better be in church today or you're in trouble. With the exception of maybe Matthew and Caleb, okay? They're still under the law, okay? It's the law of their mother. But anyway, I don't call people and tell them, you better do this. I don't send people a bill in the mail saying, well, you're down on your tithing for this month. You need to really step it up. I don't do that because I figured if you're under grace, you showed up here because you wanted to be here. Amen. So that's what happens when you grow up. When you're a child, you think as a child. And this is what Paul was talking about, 1 Corinthians 13. If you go look at that, you'll see he's referring not only to children and adults. I think he's referring to himself back when he was under the law as a Jew. And now that he's saved, he's under grace. And Israel right now is the child. They're still thinking in a childish manner. They haven't grown up yet. God is still making them do whatever they have. The law is the schoolmaster, Paul said in Galatians. And so anyway, I figured if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, you read the Bible, just like everybody else does, all of a sudden, things that God wants out of your life, you're doing. God is working them in you. God is working them through you. God is doing those things through you because He knows you're a vessel for that. And He'll bless that. And you'll feel that kind of liberty. Okay? Do you have to pay 10%? I'm only going to say the model was given to us in the Scriptures. The model for giving and doing what we're doing was given to us in the Scriptures. I'll let God tell you what to give. I'll let God do that. All right? And that's the liberty that we have. But He gives, and we talked about what tithe was. It's 10%. God made it easy for us to figure it out. The government never does. You ever notice that? Jan makes her living on the fact that the government does not make it easy for you to figure out your tax bill. That's where a lot of her income comes. And it's coming around the beginning of the year again, and it's going to start all over again. Okay? Try to figure out sales tax. What is sales tax in this town? I have no idea. 7, 8, it's not 10%. Okay, it's 7.8140 pi r squared is what it is, all right? No one can figure it out. God made it easy for us to do these things, all right? And it's fair. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. Everybody's given the same percentage. I think they ought to go to a flat tax in America. That's exactly what I think. But I'll tell you why that will never happen. Because the people in Congress use that as power to get reelected. Okay? They use that to pit one class against another in this country in order to get reelected. If they would give everybody a flat tax, 10%, 15%, whatever, they'd pay all the bills, number one, because what's happening now is you've got people who make more income who are paying the taxes on people who make less income, who the government is giving them a free way. They don't pay any taxes. And I won't get into all that. But anyway, God just makes it simple for us. To give to Him. He gives us a standard. He gives it. Now, what is the purpose of the tithe? Okay, what is the purpose of giving in the New Testament church? He mentions here, he says the collection for the saints in verse 1, and then he says, let everybody on the first day of the week lay up in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So he mentions in this place here the gathering for the saints. So we have one purpose mentioned here. Now, there's other places we're going to get to them. But he mentioned here a collection for the saints. I believe that it is the responsibility of the New Testament church to undertake and help those who are part of that church, that local congregation. That's exactly what I believe. I believe that people hit on hard times. Lisa and I did when we first got married. I wasn't asking for handouts. I wasn't asking for help, but God was using the situation in our life when we were young, and she couldn't work anymore because I kept giving her babies to carry around, and I was working sporadically in construction, and we were hurting. I mean, we were hurting pretty bad. A man from this church, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, he came to us when he drove out to our house. He knew we were hurting. And he handed me a check, and I just started bawling right there in front of him. Now here I am about 22, 23 years old, you know, full of pride and everything else. And God used that to break me. And you know what he told me? He said, Mike, don't worry about take the money. He said, you need it. He said, here's what I know about you, Mike. You'll do the same thing for somebody else one of these days. And boy, that blessed me. And God used that to break me, number one. Mike, your responsibility is to go out and work, feed your family. It's not everybody else's fault. It's yours. And God used that. But number two, that I never forgot what that man told me. I never forgot it. Okay? What he was doing was he was undertaking, I don't want to call it a responsibility, but I think it is. But he was acting on his own as part of this church to help a young couple that were just getting started. Okay? That's what you do. Okay, the older lay up for the younger. The Bible says the parents lay up for the children, not the other way around. Okay, and that's exactly what was going on, and I just never forgot that. And you know, we get calls a lot from people in the community who want help. I've learned over the years. Okay, in some cases I don't give money out. Okay, I've learned that over the years. I've been burned over the years. I saw a lady come in here one time, and she was talking to me, telling me this story. I knew she wouldn't give me the whole story, but I just couldn't figure out what was going on. And she was wanting money, and I was about ready to give it to her, and her mouth opened up a certain way while she was talking, and I could see rotted teeth all in throughout here. What does that tell you? Methamphetamine. Okay? And I basically said, ma'am, I can't help you with any money right now. Okay? And I gave her, I think I probably gave her some tracks or something. She didn't walk away empty-handed. But I didn't give her any money. She came back 6 months later, and she said, do you remember me? And I said, I sure do. And she said, and she showed me her ankle bracelet. It was a monitoring deal. And she said, I'm headed up to St. Louis. She said, I'm trying to get my life back. And she said, I just got out of jail doing time for meth. And I went, I knew that. And she said, I am trying to get my life. And she said, I've got a job interview up here and I don't have gas. I said, follow me down here to the gas station. I'll give you it. I gave her a full tank of gas. And I said, if it doesn't work out, you go somewhere else, find a job. And I counseled with her a little bit and, wasn't alone with her, but I prayed with her and talked to her about the Lord and gave her some things like that and gave her the money and sent her off. Okay. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. It's just that every now and then the Bible says give to whoever asks. Now you don't have to give everything they're demanding. Okay. But I do like to give a little bit of what God has blessed us with here. But aside from all that, when it comes to giving for needs, Bethel people come first. That's how it's always been. It's always going to be that way because that's what he says. It's the collection for the saints. Okay? This is in a time when Rome was not giving out Social Security and welfare and food stamps. Okay? Rome wasn't doing that. And so the widows, James mentions what pure religion is. Pure religion and undefiled is to help the widows. Okay? And we've got some in our church. We've got some who have needs. It's our responsibility to supply those needs and to provide for those needs as best as we can. And I agree with that. Okay? That's my policy as pastor. That if it's our people and they need help, we give it to them. Okay? Have we been done wrong? Absolutely. That's not going to stop me from doing what's right. Because God's got that all figured out. God will take care of that. It's like the pastors out in Kenya. I was talking to him one time, telling him our ministry and what we were doing. I said, we just give our DVDs away and God blesses that. And I didn't really figure things out until later. One of the pastors said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. And they said, what's to keep somebody from taking your DVDs that you're giving away and selling them? And I wasn't sure what he's talking about, but I found out in Africa, if you send something over there for free, somebody's going to grab it and sell it. Okay? If you send a box of Bibles over there, somebody's going to abscond it, take it, and they're going to try to sell it and peddle it on the street. And I said this. I said, number one, I said, God's watching over everything, and I believe that. And I said, if somebody is taking DVDs of mine and selling them out on the streets for money, for food, I don't have a problem in the world with that. I figure they need it more than I do. Okay? Number two, God's watching over that, and God will do what He wants to do with it. I can't police everybody. Number three, the way I got it figured, if somebody actually buys it, that means they're sitting in their living room watching a DVD that I made with Bible verses all in it. I don't see how I could lose here. Amen. That's what I wanted to begin with. I don't care how it gets in their hands. Okay, I really don't. That's all I want is for someone to watch a video that we do because it's going to have Bible verses all in it. And so I said, and they were going, oh, that's pretty cool. Okay. But anyway, I don't know where in the world I was going with that. But anyway, that was a good story. What is the purpose of tithes? Number one, to lay up for the saints. For the saints first. That's important. Important to remember. Number two, and that would probably include, evangelistic efforts, mission work, things like that. Okay, number two, let's go to Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27, we're going to start in verse 23 and read a couple verses there and then skip on down to verse 30. All right? God gave the pattern for what the giving or the tithing or whatever you want to call it was all about. He gave the purpose of it. In Leviticus 27, verse 23, the Bible says, "But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance." What does that mean? They have no inheritance. What does that mean? You go read Joshua. When Joshua started handing out land to everybody, God said, "Here, give this people this land, give these people this land." Levi doesn't get any land. Levi gets no land. And every tribe, the Levites had to live amongst the other tribes. And he said, "Levi doesn't get any land. Levi, I have gathered for myself. The Levites are going to tend to my tabernacle and to my temple. And I want them dedicated to the service of the tabernacle. Whenever it comes time for you to bring a sacrifice, you're going to give it to a Levite, and he's going to be standing right there." So what does that mean? That means the Levites could not support themselves or their family from their land by raising crops or by cattle or by anything else. They were not, God did not allow them to support themselves and their families by doing farm work. They had to be in attendance at the tabernacle. And that's what God meant here in verse 23. They have no inheritance. "But the tithes of the children of Israel," verse 24, "which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given unto the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." What was the purpose then of the offerings? What was the purpose of it? It was to pay the Levites. It was to support them. The tithes were the inheritance of the Levites. Yes, Dee? Oh, I'm reading out of Numbers. I'm sorry. I'm way off. I'm still in Zambia. Yeah. Numbers 18. Numbers 18. Turn there this time. It's okay. I'll be all right. Somebody take my pulse later. Make sure I'm still doing all right. Lisa asked me, she said, "Is your blood sugar high?" Oh, no. My mom used to ask my dad that all the time. Oh, it'd make dad mad. "Is your blood sugar low?" "Well, there's nothing wrong with my blood sugar." Well, yeah, there is, apparently. Numbers 18. Let's read it right. Verse 23. "But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Does that look right to you?
Yes.
Okay. "And they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance." It seems like I already said that. Verse 24, "But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." That was the purpose in the Old Testament of the tithe. It was to go to the Levites. God even had, if you, and I didn't get this deep into the law, but if you study the law, God, when they brought in an animal, like a goat or a bull, there was a certain portion that the Levites could cut off and take for themselves. This is what got Hophni and Phinehas in trouble. Hophni and Phinehas in 1 Samuel, they were the sons of Eli, the high priest, and they felt like they had an entitlement to everybody that walked by that brought in something. They had a three-pronged flesh hook. Boy, there's a good sermon on that. It's the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, and everything like that, and pride of life. And they would reach in the pot and just pull out what they wanted out of the offering. They were not allowed to do that. God had a portion of every animal that the Levites, this is why Jewish, some people speculate, it's why Jews are really good at delis, delicatessens. There's Jewish delicatessens all up and down in New York City. The Jews have been butchers for years. They've been cutting meat all of their life, the Levites especially, and they cut portions off of each one of those animals, and that was to be given to the Levites for their supper and their breakfast and their lunch. Okay, that's what that was for. The wave, the grain offering, the oil offering. Okay, and it was to be mingled with spices and things like that. They had it good. They were brought in plenty of olive oil, plenty of flour, plenty of barley, plenty of grain. spices. They've been brought in meat. Okay, I mean they could do pretty good. There was money that came in. People would pay money and bring in offerings and things like that. That was for the Levites and their livelihood. They were not, God did not allow them to farm and raise cattle and do all those things. That was their service. Now, Leviticus, let's stay in Numbers. Turn to Numbers chapter 18. You're already there, right? Verse 20. You hold that place there. I'm going to read Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. I think in Leviticus 27 that a man, if he had to tithe on his animals and on his grain and the fruit of the tree, he could exchange all of that for money, but he had to add a fifth part on top of it. In other words, if he didn't want to bring his cattle from 100 miles away, he could come into town and tell what he had and say, this is the tenth of it, but he had to add a fifth on top of it. I'm not sure why, I haven't studied that out. But he could redeem it as far as money is concerned. Instead of him bringing the cattle in, he could bring money in. Does that make sense to everybody? Amen. Okay. So anyway, it's kind of like the government. I don't know anybody out here that does this, but you talk to some of these farmers like Brother Reg Kelly and things like that. They have an assessment of all their cattle every year. There's a guy who comes around and counts their cattle. And they pay taxes on how many cattle they have. Okay. And apparently Reg knows, I've heard him preach it here before. Apparently people cheat on that. They'll tell the government, I've got 100 head when they've got 150 out there, but 50 of them's on back 40 and you can't see them. Okay? It's just cheating is what it is. Okay? But apparently it's sort of that situation there. All right? Numbers 18:20, we're backing up a little bit. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. And then that's where we kind of picked it up there in verse 23. But basically saying this, no other tribe is allowed to give service to the tabernacle. The Manassites can't, the Ephraimites can't, those of Gad cannot, the Danites cannot do it. Nobody else except the Levites. And you're supposed to be right here. This is what I'm telling you to do. And since I've pulled you out of my own, that means that everybody else is going to bring in tithes and offerings to the storehouse, and that is for you and all your people and all your family. That's your inheritance right there. So anyway, does everybody understand that so far? That was the purpose of it. That was the legal purpose of it. God had other laws in the law for those who were in poverty. There was the law of I can't remember what it was called. Handfuls of purpose you'll find in the book of Ruth, that as the gleaners of Boaz went through the field, Boaz specifically told them, leave handfuls of purpose, which basically means don't pluck everything off there. That was in the law, that when you went through the field for your gleaning, you went through one time, there were going to be things that were left. That was for the poor to go out and to pull out. What was that? God forbid the landowner from plucking everything off of there. If they had poor people, they were allowed to go through and pull off that and provide for themselves. Does everybody understand that? Okay? I don't know that government welfare is a good idea. I think there's probably better biblical programs that a government could do to aid the welfare of people. There are always going to be poor people. You're not going to eliminate poverty, but some people think that we can. If we just take everybody's money, like in Russia, if we just take everybody's land, everybody's factory, everybody's money, everybody's place of business, and we control that, then everybody will have. It didn't work out in Russia because nobody had. You would go to the butcher shop And you'd be lucky if there was two sausages hanging up there. You'd be lucky if there was. And you'd be lucky to get them. Okay? Anyway, it doesn't work anywhere else. Why we think it's going to work here? Amen? Now, look in Luke chapter 18. I hope I'm telling you right, too. Let me read it again. L-U-K-E. Yep, that's Luke. Luke chapter 18. There's just a couple places here where Jesus referenced tithing. Some will say, well, he never commanded it, yet he never condemned it. Amen. Okay, Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Okay? One is of the high class of the religious sect of the Jews. A publican, he goes to public houses. Pubs. Okay? That's what the word means. It's what the word pub means. It's a public house. And this guy was a publican, not a Republican. Okay? The other Republican. They knew what that meant. They knew what kind of guy he was talking about. He was talking about the real religious people, and he's talking about the trashy people. Okay? People that smell like whiskey all the time. Anyway, he said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Jesus is telling us that's not the prayer to pray. Okay? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, there's a lesson here. You don't see Jesus condemning tithing, but there is a lesson here concerning it. Okay? Your tithe should be, the amount should be between you and God and the church treasurer. Okay? And the bank and the IRS. Okay? That's the limit of who should know it. Are there people in churches who use their tithing and the amount that they give as leverage to get what they want in the church? You better believe there are. You better believe it. Okay? I got a story to tell, and I won't tell it. It's about a ministry that I know of. I won't say much about it. I just picked up on the fact that there were men who donated heavily to a certain ministry, not this one, and they used that as leverage to make sure what they wanted got out. Okay? And if you can count on the number of, you count on both hands the number of times I've actually preached or taught on tithing, or I mentioned it in a sermon or anything like that. I just figure that's between you and the Lord. But I'm giving you the scriptures to show you why we do what we do. And I don't ever want a situation where someone can control me or this church body with money. Amen. And there has been this year a situation where a donor, large donor to this ministry, pulled back. Didn't like it. Wasn't anything that I think I said, but they didn't like something and they pulled out. I'm not chasing them down. I can't do it. When I did the very first Watchman broadcast, 2009, Jazz had already set me up with a website that did video hosting. She was donating that. It was for free. So I made the video and I put it on the web. I put it on the website and I said, you know what? I'm going to make this free. That way nobody can tell me what to do if they donate a bunch of money. And there are some who give a little bit every month, some who give a lot every month. I can't do anything but what I think God's telling me to do from the Bible based upon who does what. Now, as far as this church is concerned and everybody here, I don't have a clue. I don't see any of that. Okay? I don't have a clue who gives what or who doesn't. Every now and then, I get emails from people or things like that. Every now and then, I can kind of see something come in, through the internet. Okay, but I choose not to cater to those people because of that. Because I don't like being in bondage to somebody. I don't like that. God designed us to be free. He's made this ministry free. And I want to keep it free. Because when you're free, you're free. Amen? Amen? I'd rather be called free than cheap. Amen? But anyway, this man was boasting about his tithing. Don't do that. Don't ever boast about your tithing or your giving. Don't do it. Okay? Because if you do, you've got your reward right there. You've got, oh, brother so-and-so, they give so much to our church. Oh, they're so godly. No, I wouldn't call it that. Okay? Anyway, that's the lesson from there. Now, 1 Corinthians 9. If tithing was given in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, for the Levites and for their pay, for their salary, for their portion, for their inheritance. And just kind of think about it. God actually made it fair. He made it fair for the Levites. Because the people were not told that they had to pay so much. They were not given an amount that they had to give whenever they gave. They were given a percentage, 10%. So if all the tribes of Israel, if they had a good year, and there was a good rains, and the rains came at the right time, and they had a bunch of cattle, and a bunch of crops came in, they would give 10% of all of that, and when everybody else did well, the Levites did well. That makes sense. If they had a bad year, and everybody else suffered through the year, the Levites suffered right along with it. See, God's smart, isn't He? God did not say to the clergy, you're going to prosper if everybody else fails. He did not say that anywhere in the Bible. That is the notion of some people. Some men in the ministry, to them, they should receive while everybody else does without. That's their... And then they lock them into it by saying, the real reason why you don't have much is because you're not giving much. So they lock them into that nonsense. That's garbage. That's baloney. Amen? God made it fair. If Israel prospered, the Levites prospered. If Israel suffered, the Levites suffered. Okay? And you know what's good about grain? When they bring in grain, you can put it in a sack, throw it in a barn. It'll keep for how long? Years and years and years. You can keep grain in there so that if you have an increase one year, you take that, you put it in a storehouse, and you save it. Because next year, you may not have that. That's just common sense, isn't it? That's the way our grandparents grew up. Amen. They didn't have Black Friday back 75, 80 years ago. Amen. Don't get me started. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. For those who would say, well, that was the Old Testament. I've seen people that would write, no preacher should ever get paid anything. They think that's wrong. I've been told that. That's not biblical. It's not right. And here's why. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Paul and Barnabas had the power to forbear working. Paul was a what? He was a tent maker. He knew how to earn a living with his hands. He built houses, tents for people. Okay, that was a big thing. And he used that at times even when he did not have to use it for his own reason. For the reason that I don't want you thinking that I'm living off of you and I have to do what you tell me to do. So I'll just sit and make tents and earn my own living and I won't take any of your money. That way I can tell you what I think God's telling me to say, and you can't bribe me out of it. Paul was very smart. He's very wise. God blessed him. But he had the power to forbear working. Verse 7, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? How many soldiers we got out on the field? How many How many guys in naval ships, in submarines? How many people do we have out in Afghanistan and Turkey and Japan and Korea? How many of those guys out there that are being trained by our government to defend our interests and to defend our country? Should they have to pay their own way? The answer is no. We should pay them a salary. We should pay them to keep them. Okay, it's what we should do. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Who plants a garden and doesn't bring in the tomatoes into the house and say, we're having fresh tomatoes tonight? Who doesn't do that? Jan raised her hand. It's because you're like me, Jan. They don't grow. Okay, I planted them. They just ain't coming up. All right? Yeah, amen. I'm with you there, sister. Okay? So he says, who eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Who goes out and milk cows every day and doesn't? And I've never milked a cow in my life, but I know guys at dairy farm, and I guarantee you, when they were a kid, they pulled that thing out and went like that in their mouth, and that's pretty good. The government would kill them now for that. That's unsanitary. That's unpasteurized. That's an abomination. No, it's pretty good, isn't it? Okay? You see what he's saying here. Who raises cattle doesn't eat beefsteak? His own beefsteak, his own goat, his own milk. Who doesn't make his own cheese and his own butter from his own flocks? Who doesn't do that? Say are these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? See here now, Paul brought the law into the teaching. See how he did it? God's wise to people who say, well, that was under the law, we don't have to do it. Paul always brings in the law and says, see, the law agrees with this too. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? He said, why was that law in there? Do you think God really cares that much about ox? You don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. You put an ox on a mill, big old stone grinder, and he walks in a circle. They made Samson do that, by the way. And he walks in a circle, and he's got to grind all of that corn, all that barley, into flour. He's got to grind it in there. What's that ox going to eat? You can't muzzle his mouth and expect him to walk around that mill all of that time with him starving to death. You can't do that. We don't treat our oxen that way. We feed the oxen from the corn that comes in. They eat that way. That's how they eat. That's how they have their living. Does God care for oxen? Verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Why did you plant a garden? Because you wanted fresh tomatoes. You wanted to be able to eat from your own hands what you did, your labor. There's a satisfaction in that. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, allow all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? He brought the law in again, didn't he? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That's what it says. Okay? I have a job that I do. I do that job all day long. That is, I study, I labor in the Word, and I preach the gospel as often as I possibly can. Okay? Should I not be allowed to forbear taking some sort of public job, public occupation? Should I not be allowed to forbear that so that I could continue to labor in the Word? The answer is yes. For His ministers, God allows those men to receive the offerings, the tithes, for their benefit, for their upkeep. Okay? That's what it says. Paul said, I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be done so unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glorify of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Amen to that. That's how God nailed me years ago about selling books and videos. And I quit. I said, I can't sell these things. God didn't make me pay to receive any knowledge or wisdom that I have. God gave it to me for free. So why shouldn't I give that out for free? Why shouldn't I? And God's blessed that. He has blessed that. I'm telling you, that's what he does. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And I'll just, I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn. But I've been called to preach the gospel. Any good minister that's worth anything, we've been called to preach the gospel, whether you pay us or not. We're going to preach it. Okay? If we have to go out and work, we'll work. First church I pastored, I worked full time and I pastored a church. And they paid me a little bit of money at that church. Okay? But I worked full time doing that. And enjoyed it. Loved it. Okay? And I enjoy the work. I enjoy the study. But any good preacher who's going to preach the gospel is going to preach it. Doesn't matter if you pay for it or not. Okay? Doesn't matter. Any good guy is going to do that. And I commend those men out there who are laboring in the word, laboring in the gospel, preaching the gospel. They don't get taken care of by people. Okay? I've known evangelists all my life, and some of them, one I talked to, he said, Mike, I did a meeting for a church. They had me drive all the way out there, and they drove all the way back. He said, I didn't even get so much as gas money to preach out there. He said, they never took up an offering. They never gave anything. And he said, there's people there. They just never did it, didn't think about it. And he said their attitude was like, well, you're supposed to be doing this for free anyway. What do you want money for? He said, really, all I wanted was to be able to get back home. Okay? That stuff ain't right. Are there preachers who abuse that? And there's no doubt in my mind about it. Absolutely there are. Okay? But that doesn't absolve us from the responsibility to give. Okay, the responsibility to give. Lisa and I do it. I'm not trying to tell you, but we do. Okay? And I think it's the right thing to do. All right? I'm done preaching on tithing for about 6 or 7 years. Because I don't want to. I've heard preachers who'll hit on that every Sunday, who pound their own people, trying to get more out of them. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's right. Amen? If God's going to do something in that church, He'll pay for it.